It's Tuesday, 11th of January. It's time to get your grin on with the Greencast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello.
Gauze the Gauze.
Hi.
And Payslips.
Hello.
And Nox.
Hi.
We've got some newsy news bits to talk about, but, well, we haven't spoken about what we've been playing recently, because, you know, Game of the Year, then Game of Several Years Ago. So, take us away, Artura. Tell us, we'll keep things short. What's your favorite game that you've been playing over the past couple of weeks?
Over the past couple of weeks? Because, like, I haven't played anything this week at all.
Yeah, past couple of weeks.
Over the last week, couple of weeks, I reviewed 19 games on GameGrind.com, and I think my favorite one among the bunch was Children of Morta. That's the one I was playing with my wife as well. It's this game about a group of, it's a family that is always fated to be like the heroes of the world, and they have to fight this darkness. And it, all the family is playable characters. They range in a lot of ages, and they all have their own unique playstyles. And it's really nice, and it's very, like, nicely built, and I'm really appreciative of that.
And again, we got a special guest in a pug.
Oh, yeah. As always.
Yep.
This is the scariest fucking ambient noise.
I've heard also like... one making a snoring sound.
Yeah, he does. He's making a snoring sound. It's really creepy when you forget you have one and you're sleeping.
And we have to explain it to the listeners who don't listen to every episode because, well, it sounds like someone's gotten bored with Artura or Nox speaking. Okay, Gauze, what about yourself?
I played a lot of Sons of Salzar, which I hope to review, which is, I'd explain it as Heroes of Might and Magic by way of Diablo. It basically plays like Diablo. The same controls, but you get units, you upgrade them, you have resources that you need to spend on them, stuff like that. You can conquer cities and you need to manage them, and NPCs will come and attack the cities and try to take them from you. NPCs will fight amongst each other, stuff like that.
That sounds interesting. Okay, Payslips, what about yourself?
So, I haven't actually been playing that many video games recently, but I did play this new game, although I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk about it. I mean, it's a closed beta test, but I mean, anyone can request access to it. It's Super People. It's a new like battle royale. It's literally just basically PUBG, but you have superpowers. I played that a few times with my friends. It's just, you know, just another battle royale game. It's called Super People CBT at the moment, so everyone keeps asking me why I'm playing a cockball torture game, but I'm not. I'm playing a battle royale, which might as well be a cockball torture game, really.
Huh? Is that what CBT stands for?
Google CBT. Actually, don't do that.
No, don't. Don't tell our listeners to do that.
I thought it stands for... closed beta test.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It does actually stand for that. But, I mean, other people have different interpretations of what CBT stands for.
Why would you tell me about that? Why would you bring this into my world? Why would you do this to me?
Because I care about you.
Nox, have you been playing anything?
Apart from the fact that her hand has been broken recently? Yes, unfortunately. She doesn't know how to take care of herself.
No, unfortunately, I haven't touched a game in like a month. I haven't touched anything because I've literally just been doing nothing. But right before stopping, I was playing this game called They Are Survival, I think it's called. And it's just a mobile game where it's kind of like a text-based-ish game of kind of like a zombie-like apocalypse. Where you have to, like, collect, you know, water, what's the name of, like, food, just, like, things to survive. And, yeah, it's just, like a little survival game on the phone. It's pretty fun. I love it. Right. Didn't get to try it a lot, though.
Yeah, fair enough. Hopefully you'll heal up eventually and get back to it.
Well, thankfully, I'm doing a little bit better. Well, much better, really. But I'm still kind of terrified of touching anything, like, mouse control, nothing. I'm just terrified.
Myself, I've been sinking quite a number of hours into Hard Space Shipbreaker. It's a game where you are to get out of your terrible situation on Earth. You take a contract to live in space and take apart all derelict ships. And that incurs a huge debt, which you have to pay back by breaking down the ships. And so you have to do a good job and not completely destroy bits. You have to put them in to the correct area. There's a barge for items like chairs and computers that can be used again, a processor for the ship's outer hull, and the furnace for recycling things like waste products and aluminium. You have to work your way to having zero debt. The last time I played it, the story mode was bare bones. Having come back to it, it's a lot better implemented. There's an actual ongoing storyline going along with repay your debt. So it's not just like Animal Crossing.
So there isn't a tyrannical raccoon that likes to slave people?
Not a raccoon. There is like the Lynx Corporation, who have automated messages like you start each shift by waking up, because you know you live in space, and the computer will give you a inspirational message or remind you that if you sleep more than 8 hours, your debt will increase.
Where would video games be without indentured servitude, right?
I really appreciate how they're discouraging sleeping more than 8 hours. They're teaching good habits.
Yeah, I mean, technically speaking, that is a bad thing to sleep more than eight.
Since there's not really much going on between story elements, like once you've processed a certain amount of ships and earn a certain amount of money, you'll go up a rank, and then that might kickstart the next section of the story. So while I'm breaking down a ship through two or three shifts, which last about 20 minutes each, I'll have something on the other screen, like YouTube or an episode or something. So it's a good game to be able to play something, and you can watch stuff on the other channel, on the other screen. But don't get too distracted, because if your laser torch hits something that will ignite, it will blow you up and you'll need to be cloned, and that will cause your debt to increase.
I really like that the system implements getting cloned, because like, no, you haven't paid your whole debt to get back here.
Like, and then they add the cost.
Sorry, payslips.
It's like Moon the game. Like the movie Moon.
Oh, I thought you meant the game called Moon, which is an actual thing.
Oh, no.
I thought of the action of mooning when he said moon.
Well, speaking of mooning, Lego has mooned Overwatch.
Nice.
Yeah, I like how that works.
Like, honestly, nice.
It's come out that, well, Lego was supposed to be releasing a Titan set based on Overwatch 2, which isn't due out until maybe next year, and they've decided to delay it in place in light of the workplace misconduct issues that Activision Blizzard have been having for quite a while now. The quote is from a statement: "We are currently reviewing our partnership with Activision Blizzard, given our concerns about the progress being made to address continuing allegations regarding workplace culture, especially the treatment of female colleagues, and creating a diverse and inclusive environment."
I'm glad to see that. Sorry.
I was going to say, fair play to Lego sticking by people rather than companies.
Yeah, honestly, Lego's one of my favorite companies. It always feels like they're doing the right thing. But like, there's this time when They were asking companies to go into renewable energy, and Lego just changed everything and became completely renewable energy. And I really admire Lego for the way they, you know,
try to
react
be forward
and
yeah.
try to think forward and do all these things. I'm also really glad to see that Activision Blizzard is getting the repercussions they deserve for, well, it deserves, sorry, for the things, all the allegations and all the problems that the company has been facing.
Unfortunately, not many, huh? It doesn't seem like a lot of people or enough people are, you know, it feels like they're kind of getting a smack on the wrist, except they're losing a lot of player base, but it's not like they weren't already. Like, I'm not proud of the player base. They were already bored with the game since basically Lich King. I mean, after Lich King.
Yeah, I mean, Overwatch fans seem to be more upset about the fact that Overwatch 2 is being delayed till 2023 as opposed to the issues that have caused that to happen. They just want to play the game.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, it doesn't seem like the fans are really standing firm. And it's really weird because a lot of other companies get a lot of repercussions for doing things like this. And
like Sony recently.
Yeah, it's really all these people just still supporting it and ignoring the problem, especially as the CEO is still, you know,
still within the company. As they said, he has friends in it.
Yeah, Bobby Kotick. It doesn't seem like he's going to be going anywhere soon, and that's what's hampering their ability to make progress.
It just feels like it's wrong. Like at this point, even if they just take Kotick out and Kotick resigns, it's a bit late given how long he's been around. It's like, you don't get to just take 5 years to do the right thing and then still get praised for doing it. I don't know. I feel it's wrong.
Specifically because not only have they been taking forever to take out this guy, but also Blizzard hadn't listened to any of the fan base feedback. But as soon as they got in controversies, then suddenly they started coming up with these like updates to fix the things that people have been asking for years.
I have surprised myself by taking LEGO's side. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Take the side of the company that's not making women's life hell. But LEGO or another company like Nintendo that's just, we do the best products, so you pay through the nose for our product.
That is a fair argument, but at the same time, it is because there is a lack of competition there.
Doesn't that still make it bad?
Sort of, but I feel like it's kind of a fair argument here as well. You're the sole provider, and they do like these huge collaborations with big companies as well.
But like, if you're the sole provider, that means that you don't have competition, which means there's no point to inflating your money needlessly, your costs needlessly. Like, it's kind of crappy.
But that's how monopolizing an entire thing works. It's kind of like 3D puzzles, basically.
That's still gross, and I hate Nintendo too.
Just putting the weekly I hate Nintendo into Greencast.
It's crazy that Mega Constructs never took off as much as LEGO did with their Halo set that they did a while back. You know, you think Halo would be able to sell an alternate to LEGO, but apparently not.
Yeah, Mega Blocks. I think they're not really doing much recently. They had, as you said, Halo. They've also had Pokemon.
Pokemon as well?
Yeah. Wow. It was several years ago. They've also had Thomas the Tank Engine, Call of Duty, Power Rangers. It's just, they haven't done anything with them.
They need to market this stuff better.
I really like the Black Sheep. Thomas the Tank Engine, just among Halo and Call of Duty.
And wait, is the Mega Bloks the same thing as LEGO, or is it like another company?
Mega Bloks is basically cheap LEGO.
Oh my god, I had never even heard of them.
And thus Payslip's entire comment. They need to market things better.
Yeah, I think they're called Mega Constructs in Americas, like North and South America. They did a God of War Kratos thing. They did Borderlands. No. They did Splinter Cell. They did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They did everything. But who knows about this?
According to Wikipedia, LEGO took them to court and Mega Brands, the company name, won. Oh, dear.
I want to go to a Mega Constructs themed theme park.
That's because they have all the video game properties except for Overwatch 2, which technically nobody has at the moment.
No one really wants it anyway.
But you know what people do want? PlayStation 5s.
You manipulated the conversation to take it down that road.
A news story came out yesterday about two PlayStation 5 resellers who were trying to sell, what was it, four PlayStation 5s in Ontario, Canada, and were robbed at gunpoint because they were trying, they had obviously been trying to sell these via, for instance, Facebook, and agreed to meet up with someone, and they now have four fewer PS5s than they originally had, which is two more than they needed.
My heart bleeds for them, really.
I wonder what the robber did with the PlayStation 4s. Like, I mean, the 5s. Are they just like robbing it and then using that opportunity to scalp themselves? Or did they actually have a use for all four?
Nah, for sure they're scalping them.
It's going to be like there's a quest in Yakuza 0. This kid buys a game, and then this older kid steals it from him, and then this punk steals it from him, and then this gangster steals it from him, and then this Yakuza steals it from him.
There's always a bigger fish.
So this guy's going to try and sell three PS5s, and the next guy's going to try and sell two PS5s.
Or they just mine Bitcoin or something, I don't know.
On the PS5?
I don't know if it can do that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
It has a graphics card.
Yeah, just rip that out. The news story that I've linked to everyone is on GameRant.com, and it suggests if you decide to sell things via social media, it's best to meet in daylight and in a public setting. Meet in a safe place such as a police station parking lot, and bring someone along for strength in numbers. And you might recall me saying at the start of this, two people were robbed. That didn't work for them.
However, they did ignore the other ones. They met, where is it that they met? I know they met at 7:45 p.m., I think it was, or 6:45?
Yeah, 7:45.
Yeah, and where is it that they met? Point is, they basically ignored the other two guidelines, so Game Rant maybe is onto something.
Be fair, so, I mean, like, you can't really outnumber a gun, really. Once if someone's got a gun, you kind of, like, yeah, not messing with that.
If you're going to sell PS5s, you should have a friend with a laser pointer standing on top of a building.
That's not a terrible idea.
I know.
I was thinking the same.
And it's cost efficient.
I mean, yes, there's lots of things cheaper than buying a sniper rifle.
a magnifying glass and a laser pointer.
I would like to point out that this isn't the first time this happens either. In fact, it's been a recurring theme specifically with the PlayStation 5. Because if you follow the articles going down, a Texas teenager was shot trying to sell PlayStation 5. And then after that, they mentioned that a 16-year-old died trying to sell a PlayStation 5. Right beside his dad. And it's pretty horrible what, you know, lengths humans are going
just
for a console. I do a lot for a console, but...
You know, this is just a classic case of video games causing violence. You know, without video games, people wouldn't be violent. And this is now multiple people that have been robbed and shot at gunpoint for video games. If the PlayStation 5 didn't exist, that wouldn't have happened, you know?
That's so true, but we have three people more. Oh, wait, no, one person more?
I like this this line also in that article. PS5 supply is expected to normalize later this year or in 2023.
Nice.
They're like, please calm down.
Maybe one day.
Just stop.
Like saying COVID is going to be over this year, or maybe next year, or maybe never. You know,
it's like saying the supply is expected to normalize at some point in the future, you know, before 2030, when we won't want PS5s anymore.
I guess that one PS5 exclusive is really, really good.
I guess we can blame the video game violence and all that to Grand Theft Auto and the killing prostitutes. And they're doing the same thing here.
In Mortal Kombat. With all the like
Mortal
spine
Kombat
pulling.
With the guns, apparently.
When someone gets their spine pulled out for like trying to sell a PS5, then we know it's gone too far.
Then we know it's video games.
I think then we're going to have to find martial artists all over the world to fight in Mortal Kombat. if someone pulls out someone's spine. That will be the right course of action.
Or if upon killing someone, they scream, what is it?
Fatality.
The prize in these those video game fighting tournaments is usually a large sum of money, but for this fighting tournament, it could be a PS5.
And it would be even more expensive than the large sum of money at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
PlayStation 5 is just the new literal form of crypto. You know, it's just like Bitcoin, but it's big. You know,
that's hilarious. It's become its own form of currency.
There's going to be an apocalypse, and only the people who have PS5s are going to be able to afford anything.
Or not, because they bought a PS5.
Yeah, forget bottle caps.
Oh, like Fallout.
Yeah, that's the reference.
Well, technically speaking, Days Survival are Deus or something like that also has caps, which is kind of strange. Days are Survival, there we go. Arturo immediately was like, wow, what a ripoff.
Better take them to court like Lego with Mega Constructs.
Or the one with the crap, what's the name of that double player thingy?
Take Two.
Yep.
I'm still angry about that.
Well, on the subject of Fallout 4, it ties in. It only has 214 hours worth of content in it, which is less than half of what's in Dying Light 2. There, I made the connection. A tweet has kind of annoyed, slash alarmed, slash excited portions of the internet where the Dying Light 2 Twitter account said that it will take you 500 hours to complete Dying Light 2. They have since clarified, saying that it's 20 hours to complete the main story, but you're going to need 500 hours to experience literally everything, all of the endings, find everything, and read all of the dialogue, listen to the dialogue, that sort of thing.
I wonder how many freaking endings there are then. And also, let's keep in mind that I'm going to get to play exactly 30 of those 500 hours.
I've been suggesting to my wife to write an article that games should really stop becoming so big or so long. Because, like, I understand the notion. I like the idea of being able to spend 500 hours in Dying Light. But at the same time, sometimes these massive games cause analysis paralysis, and then you just don't want to finish it. Sometimes you're even scared to start it because, like, how am I going to put almost 20 days of back-to-back gaming without sleeping and not be able to finish the game 100%?
No, that I honestly, I've been arguing with Arturo that it's kind of hard for me to write that because, well, I haven't played a lot of open worlds, but, like, I totally understand this one because it's like, okay, I don't have 500 hours of attention span or time. So, like, I'm never going to actually be happy enough to be like, oh my god, I got to finish this game. I'm always going to be like, I got to kind of finish it. And that's just not the same honor badge.
Well, you'll get to finish the main story. You just won't have all of the achievements or trophies.
And you think Arturo's going to let me live that down? Do you have any idea how many times she looks at her freaking Steam profile? Look at all the games I've finished. Completed.
Don't look at mine.
Do you remember back with the original Mass Effect where you had to complete it like 7 times to get all of the Xbox achievements? That was something that I never managed to do.
I wasn't aware of that.
You had to complete it in like progressively unlock the harder difficulties and you get more and more achievements for completing the game on harder difficulties. And it's a massive RPG. I mean, you could blitz through it if you wanted to, but yeah, I mean, it's a lot of hours to put into that.
Several of the Mega Man Battle Network games, you need to finish 12 times to unlock the final boss.
Oh, that is a cop out.
Reminds me of Superman 64. You just have to play the game on the hardest difficulty, otherwise you just get mocked. And it's like, no, you don't get the actual ending.
I mean, anyone who play that game deserves to be mocked anyway.
Now, here's the thing. How do you guys feel about the constantly inflating hours? Because it feels like video game companies, publishers, and all that are starting to feel the need to show how big their game is by inflating it in hours. And as we saw with Assassin's Creed Odyssey, although I would like to disclose I did not actually get to fully play the game myself, but from what I heard was that it was mostly just inflated content of basically fetch quests and repeated content all the way through the extra hundreds of hours that you could play it. So how do you guys feel about that? Do you think it's detrimental to put so many hours just for the sake of saying like, oh, look, we're the biggest game in the industry currently?
Especially because it's all a bunch of bloated content as well.
I'm a little concerned that, well, in 10 years we're going to have a game that takes 300 days to complete if you don't sleep, and it's going to take up a terabyte on your hard drive.
Yeah, it just seems like it's constantly getting significantly worse, and that's horrible. Especially for people that can't, afford the time to do it. I mean, I guess, you know, then it's not... I'm torn, because on one hand, at least you only have to play 20 hours for the main quest, but if they had enough budget and time to put 480 extra hours of content, shouldn't they have just fully fleshed out the main storyline and make it more of a linear playthrough?
I mean, as long as they always have the option to complete the storyline within a reasonable amount of time, I think extra content is always nice to have. I'm a person that, like, for example, has managed to put a lot of hours into a lot of games because of modding extra content, like adding new quests and new places to go and stuff like that. For example, with Skyrim, like you can complete the storyline in like what, 10 hours, maybe less, but I've managed to put like hundreds of hours into that due to the sheer extent of modding, for example. And when a game comes with all that content pre-built into it, it's nice for people who like to get really immersed into stuff and like to be able to do loads of different things. But yeah, if they start doing it where the storylines are actually like, you know, going to take like 100 hours to complete the main story, then I do not want to be anywhere near that.
Yeah, see, I'm with you, but what I'm saying is 480 hours of extra content, you know, you could have reduced that to like 250 hours and made sure that the main storyline, I'm not sure, because again, we haven't been able to play Dying Light 2, we don't know how fully fledged the main campaign is, but I feel like, for me, I don't really like open world games because it feels like they're spread too thin. And if you complete the main storyline, it doesn't feel fulfilling. And if you complete the side quests, they also don't always feel fulfilling. Meanwhile, with games like God of War that are more, you know, linear and story heavy, it actually feels fulfilling to get to the ending with like the couple of side quests that it has along the way. And everything just feels like it culminates into a full story and a full experience. Meanwhile, if I play, let's say, the 80 hours that Dying Light is offering me, maybe I won't feel like I've completed or explored or seen the entire game because there's still, hypothetically speaking, 420 hours.
Yeah, see, that's my problem with the fact that there's like 500 million hours. I understand like there's not a lot of people that like games being big, but it feels like when I complete a game, like if I grab Dying Light and I played the 20 hours, like, it's it feels pathetic for me to say, oh, I finished the game. It's like, no, I kind of finished the game. And I don't know. I get it. It's great. But it makes me kind of sad as a person that doesn't have a lot of, like, attention span. It makes me feel like a lesser gamer, I guess, even though, like, it's not. But, and also, another problem I have is the fact that sometimes side quests feel a little brainless. So, like, it's fine to have a lot of side quests. In fact, but I'd rather have less side quests with more actual, like, heaviness behind them, or more brain, or more like budget behind each. Instead of having 500 quests, have 50, but like really, really good side quests.
Really, really good fetch quests.
That's See, the problem.
That is the problem, because if they're really good side quests, you can do, for instance, in Sherlock Holmes Chapter 1, each of the quests really does feel fulfilling, and you don't really get much of a multiple ending on the side quests, but it does feel like, you know, each one had enough dialogue and importance behind them that it was worth it to finish them, in contrast to, I don't know, fetch quest number 58 in Skyrim.
And it felt like it was adding to the game because, I mean, since it's a, you know, detective game and you're with Sherlock Holmes, you can still see kind of like how his life would be. Like, it's not, it's kind of like a show where you see several, like multiple episodes, some of them really important and some of them medium important. And you still kind of see the John and him like chemistry thingy happening. So I think that one's pretty good. I think that's why we liked those side quests in that one.
For some context, as I said, Fallout for 214 hours to finish everything. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is 192 hours. And Skyrim weighs in at 232 hours. So still not even half of the amount of content that Dying Light 2 has. I'd be interested in seeing what the install size on that is.
It's a very valid point. That's going to be pretty massive. Especially because, you know, endgame graphics, I mean, not endgame, sorry, next-gen graphics and all that in comparison to the more polygonal style in Skyrim.
Well, to be fair, you've got zombies as enemies, so how many different types of zombies can there be?
Well, the original one had, what, I think it had two different, which was the ones that lurk in the night and the daytime zombies. Oh, no, it had a lot more.
Man, the freaky zombies at nighttime were really messed up.
The screamer as well and stuff like that.
I loved Dying Light.
And I think Dying Light 2, when I was checking the Steam page, I saw some new ones that I didn't super recognize. So it's nice to see the varied content there as well. I'm looking forward to it. I really hope the 500 hours are worth it. I don't mean to crap on that. It's just, I hope they're not just mindless.
Well, fair enough. I misjudged how many zombie types there could possibly be.
Oh, no, that's okay. I understand. I personally always prefer when it's just normal zombies and you just get really swarmed because that's a more realistic scenario. But it is all fantasy anyway, so.
The real question is how much hours of content will Dead Island 2 have when it comes out? Because that's the zombie game everyone's waiting for, right? No? Okay.
Well, something you apparently didn't have to wait for very long is socially engineering your way into someone's FIFA account. Because EA have released a statement saying that less than 50 accounts, so 49, we assume, have been hacked by basically people contacting customer support and just shouting at them until they gave over access to other people's accounts to and bypassing two-factor authentication completely. The exact quote is, utilizing threats and other quote-unquote social engineering methods. So I take that to mean that they were just being mean to the customer service people until they agreed to change the email address that was attached to the account and allow people to get onto accounts that were not theirs.
That's so concerning. That is so concerning.
Yeah, they are taking steps and retraining and giving additional team training and probably being told no, two-factor authentication every single time. That's what it's there for.
Yeah, like I used to work in a customer service role. The amount of stress we had to put on, like a customer calling up without the right details or not being the actual account holder, or like confirming that they're not the account holder, was so high. Like, and you're meant to just shut that down completely. You can't even like entertain someone being like, oh, I could try and help you. You're gonna be like, no. I mean, I don't work for EA. I didn't work for EA, but yeah, it's crazy to think that someone can just get on the phone or get on like a chat with a customer service agent and just abuse them into like not doing their job right. Like it says that they're specifically high profile player accounts, which I'm guessing probably means maybe esports players or YouTubers or people like that. Yeah. So kind of like, I guess it's not to worry about everyone being a target at the moment, but it's scary if that will become a precedent, if that sets a precedent for the future.
See, what I think is concerning is I understand maybe one staff member being pressured into it, because some people crack under social pressure. Some people get scared at getting shouted at, and maybe that's not the best working space for them, but that's not what we're talking about right now. It's that it was around less than, you know, just to put their wording, it was less than 50 accounts, which I'm not assuming they were all the same person. So we're talking about less than 50 employees actually going through the stress to actually just fork it over and just give up. That's That's what mostly concerns me.
Imagine if it all was all just one person. Just people call up and you'd be like, yeah, sure. Don't worry. I've got you.
Imagine if it was just one hacker.
One guy accessing 49 accounts.
Yeah, Tim, it's me again. I mean, no, I'm Keith147. Give me access to my account. Oh, but I need to... No, we've been over... we haven't been over this, but just give me access. Or kick your ass.
I like how you assume the hacker's just stupid.
But somehow still a hacker.
I mean, he's not really doing much hacking, is he? He's just yelling and getting and just like basically screaming into submission.
These people, assuming there's multiple, Karened their way into other people's accounts.
They can put that in their skills in LinkedIn.
Social engineering. That's a really cool phrase. Like, it's a lot cooler than what it suggests actually is. Like, social engineering makes it sound like, you know, like you've kind of some sort of Ocean's 11 type like heist sort of scenario, when really it's just a dude just being like, yeah, oh no, that's my brother's account. Yeah, I'm with my brother. Yep, this is my brother. I am my brother right now talking to you. Yep, this is my account.
Please unlock the account signed the father.
And then a mother with a suspiciously manly voice says, please, or I don't know, something. Karens her way through it. It is still really sad, though, jokes aside, to see. I'm not sure who I'm more sad for. The people who got pressured into it, who are now going to face repercussions because they were already obviously suffering some form of social anxiety and stress in order to actually fork over these accounts. The people who lost their accounts because, like, that's frustrating. I mean, my wife and I were playing Genshin Impact, and we one day logged in, and turns out she had a Russian
caption. Oh my god, yeah. I had, like, the tagline was in Russian, and I don't know, I didn't pay attention. I don't know, I was stupid. I was just like, that's weird. And then Arturo was like, what is that? And I was like, I don't know. And she copied it and pasted it, and it said something like account for sale.
Account for sale. So that's, yeah, it's really stressful.
It's terrifying.
So I don't know. I kind of feel bad for the employees, but at the same time, I can't feel too bad because they're messing with other people's accounts, but at the same time, it's just an account. But at the same time, it's just shouting. So I could go either way here.
Not only that, but it freaking hurts to spend like a lot of time and effort, sometimes even money in accounts.
And then have your tagline be changed into a Russian.
Oh my god, yeah. I have a pin in my stomach that day the whole day. I kept checking my Genshin Impact, making sure the Russian guy never returned.
How much is your account, by the way?
Nothing?
Nothing, no.
Okay. So wait, I can have it for free?
If you ask really nicely.
Or shout, apparently.
Russian.
Give me your account.
Yeah, please. In Russian.
Vodka. Здравствуйте.
If we all stay silent, Ace is gonna have to find a way to change Russian into Microsoft. So oh no my one god! Say anything.
Shh. I've got something. I got some. No, it's gone.
You're really good at that, though. Jesus, honestly.
I've got one. You might not be able to purchase Nox's account, but Microsoft doesn't see Game Pass as a replacement for game purchasing.
I'll take it. Needs some work.
This is like my fifth podcast. Give me a few more years.
Was that in Russian?
Yes.
Yeah.
As Basips has just said in a interview, Phil Spencer, the guy in charge over at Xbox, has basically said that, yeah, Game Pass is cool, but still buy games.
Okay, see, I'm confused about something. So this goes back to Back for Blood and the whole, like, they promised, I don't remember what it was, DLC, was it?
Free DLC, I think it was?
And then they didn't, and people are arguing that it's because they launched their game in Game Pass. And I was super surprised to see how many new games there were on Game Pass on the Xbox One. But if he doesn't, like, how can they not know, first of all, how that's going to be detrimental? Because obviously it's less expensive, and, like, you just, you know, boot up the game, you play for a little while, you realize it's not that great, and you just kind of, like, drop it. And two, if he really doesn't intend on it replacing it, then why is he still putting new games on the Game Pass? The Game Pass is good enough already with games that are like a year or two old or more. Like, there's a lot of great games, so why do you still have to put in new games? I don't get it.
The selection on Game Pass changes every so often. Like, for instance, PUBG was on Game Pass, but it came off yesterday, I think. And they will add more games every now and then. There's some more being added tomorrow.
See, that totally... Oh, sorry, continue.
A couple of the Yakuza games, Yakuza 0, Kiwami 1, and Kiwami 2, were on Game Pass until the start of the year. On Xbox, at least. They're still available on the PC Game Pass, though.
See, I totally understand that. I actually agree with the cycling, because that does beat... Like, it doesn't let you just buy the Game Pass and not the game. But if you buy a game and you basically get to complete it, I don't think a lot of people will actually buy it then, like, separately, because I don't think people go back to games that often. Arthur and I had a free Game Pass from the Discord thing, and we went on to try the games, kind of like a demo. And we wrote down all the games we like to buy them on our Steam, but I think that's like an isolated incident because we're pretty obsessed with having games on our, you know, Steam and seeing the time and getting the badges and all that. But I don't think everyone else does that, do they?
I don't think his comments are meant to be like he's expecting everyone to also have Game Pass but also buy all of the games that are coming out. I think he was meant to try, like, he quotes saying, like, likening it to Netflix, like how, like, you know, some people may, like, I guess if you really like something, you want to buy a copy of it. Or, you know, some people just don't stream. Some people just want to buy the games instead. Like, Age of Empires, for example, Age of Empires 4 came out and it's selling really well on Steam and it's quite popular on Steam when, you know, it's a game that's out on Game Pass and you can be playing it on Game Pass as well. But, yeah,
but
21,000 reviews on Steam, which is showing.
I've never played an Age of Empire games, but that's one of those, like, you would just build a city and you conquer and you make more cities and more buildings, right?
Yeah, it's a real-time strategy.
So that one can basically go on as long as you don't get bored of it, though, right?
Yeah.
Those are fine, I think, to put up in the Game Pass, because, like, the fans are going to, like, continue playing them and buy them anyway. But what about games that are, like, short-lived, I guess? Kind of, like, perhaps really repetitive, like Back 4 Blood. I mean, I don't think it's repetitive. I love it. I used to play Left 4 Dead a lot, but some people have, like, a very short, like, I don't know, resistance.
Tolerance.
Yeah, tolerance. There you go. And then there's other games, like, show me the games. Like, games that have, like, an actual ending.
Well, The Gunk, for instance, was released in Game Pass recently.
Yeah, so, like, once you play it through, especially because a lot of people struggle with money and struggle to actually be able to buy games. That's, like, a big thing, which is why they, you know, everyone buys and discounts and they pirate games and stuff. And I don't think having it on Game Pass, it makes it easier for those people, sure, but it still loses, I think, money for the developers, or am I wrong here?
Microsoft have said in the past that, or people who have released games on Game Pass in the past have said that they've made more sales after the game appeared on Game Pass than they were making before it was on Game Pass.
Okay, never mind then. I'm pretty surprised about that. I figured people would just play for a while, drop it, and then just move on and not actually buy it. I'm really glad that works then.
I think a lot of people see it as, like, for a lot of games, it's like a free trial, kind of, being able to play it. And if I think we don't give enough credit to people who actually really, like, want to support a developer who will play a game and then go and actually pay for it. It's also, like, the same with, I mean, it's not the exact same thing, but piracy as well. Like, you see games that get quite popular on pirating websites, and apparently that translates to sales quite well because people pirate the game and they're like, oh, this is actually a fantastic game, I want to support this developer. I'm not saying it's 100% conversion, like, not everyone who pirates the game will go buy the game, but there will be people who do it. And people who pirated the game and didn't buy it are the people that wouldn't have bought it in the first place anyway. So
that totally makes sense. Honestly, it's just that I have such a low, low, low opinion of humanity that I was like, nah, people are just going to buy the pass, play it, and then just not like not help the developers at all. They're just gonna be like, ah, cool, moves on.
Yeah, it's easy to lose faith. I lose faith as well.
I bought all of the Yakuza games when they came out on Steam, and I was so tempted to buy them again on Xbox so I could play them again.
Get your achievements as well.
Yeah, that's why I started playing Yakuza 0 on Game Pass, and then it came off Game Pass.
That is very unfortunate. I really appreciate the Game Pass system. I think it's useful. I really like it because since we struggle so much because of the regional pricing issues, it's kind of like the piracy debacle, just that I'm not into pirating things all that often. Because it's just, I don't know, I don't. I used to before when I was, you know, more, I guess, corrupt. I grew a heart and I was like, no, I really want to support developers. I want to play the games. And it's really difficult because demos are no longer offered as they were before. And I love the Game Pass system, honestly. I know a lot of people don't, but I really like subscription services, personally.
Oh, that like kind of like the Genshin Impact one?
Yeah, and well, that's more Battle Pass.
Oh, wait, no, right, sorry. Game Pass. Yeah, I like them too. Me too, honestly. Unfortunately, I don't like that I don't get the games on my Steam, though. Like, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Steam to release an entire Game Pass on their own.
That would be lovely.
I reckon Steam prints enough money as it is without that, unfortunately. But that would be wicked if they do that.
Well, it'll be Chinese New Year soon, so they'll have another sale and, you know, ship some more money to themselves.
You know, that is a fair point. At least they do have a lot of sales all the time. They've been so useful to my Steam library, not so much to my wallet, though.
Oh, if Dying Light 2 comes to Game Pass, do we reckon it'd be on Game Pass long enough for people to play 500 hours worth of it?
I mean, how long do games usually last on Game Pass? Because if they don't usually last around a year, I'm betting no.
It varies from game to game, really.
Because, see, I hear people that they're like, recently I heard a story of someone being like, I finally, like, I 100%ed Skyrim, and I'm so proud of that. And I was like, wow, I'm astonished that you've even continued doing it after so long. So being given that Dying Light is going to be around double the size, I can't imagine how long that's actually going to take to beat.
It'll be 50 years and people will still be celebrating the finishing of it.
People will still be halfway done when Dying Light 3 comes out 1,000 hours long.
On Game Pass for 2 weeks only.
I think we've reached the end of the podcast. So thanks for coming, Artura, Payslips, Gores, and Nox.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having me as well.
Hi.
Thank you for listening to the Greencast, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast. New episode out on Thursday where we'll talk about Tekken. And until next time, game on.